Happy Sabbath, everybody. Happy High Day. How good it is to be here today. Maybe not here, but it's good to be together with all of you on a Thursday, a High Day, to celebrate the feast, the first day of unleavened bread. Happy Sabbath. Blessings to all your children. What a great time to celebrate these next 7 days. I have a question for you. I'm going to prepare you a little bit in advance. I have several questions for you today. The first one is, how are you going to make this the best feast ever? Now, I know a lot of you think, you can't say that. We say that in the fall. You can't ask the question, how is it going to be the best feast ever? That's something for the Feast of Tabernacles, the Kingdom of God, the return of Jesus Christ. This is a feast, and I think it's an important question to ask because we're at the very front of the Holy Days. Last July, my wife and I, family, received an invitation in the mail to a wedding. This was a wedding that we were very much looking forward to, one of those save-the-date things that was going to be in October. It was my nephew Dane and his then-girlfriend Natalie, and we were so looking forward to that wedding and saving that date. We did save that date, and it was everything and more than what we thought it was going to be. Well, you and I have the save-the-dates, don't we? In the Bible, in Leviticus, God asks us every year to save the date. You know, he calls them designated times, set aside for a purpose. What is that purpose? What is the main purpose for the next 7 days that you and I are to focus on? That's what I want to talk to you today about, is what do we focus on for the next 7 days? I'm going to take some license and maybe say what we shouldn't focus on or spend too much time thinking about, maybe in the past that we did. But what is the one thing that we should focus on during these next 7 days? Turn, if you would, to Exodus 12 and verse 12. It's always important to read these scriptures this time of year. Well, I'm sure we've read them many times over the last several weeks. Exodus 12 and verse 12. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt. And I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be a memorial for you to keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout all your generations. You shall keep it as a feast, as an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove all the leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off. Okay, the next question is, why do we eat unleavened bread? I remember years ago, in 93, 94, somebody got it in their head that it might be a good idea that you don't really have to eat the bread. It's, yeah, you know, if it's there, eat it. You don't have to eat it. And I went, well, it's right here. It says right here that we're supposed to eat unleavened bread. Next question is, what is the unleavened bread during the days of unleavened bread represent? What does it represent? The sinless life of Jesus Christ. So couldn't we at least say to a degree that these days are the days of Jesus Christ? And say, I'm not going to rename the days. I think God's done a pretty good job there. But we could actually say that these are the days of Jesus Christ. Leavening has no part in these days. And I think you probably know and have heard many messages. You know where I'm going. Our focus really should be on our Messiah, our Savior, what he has done for us, and the sin that he removes from our lives. Have you ever come into these days almost, well, I don't know, dreading them, but feeling a certain amount of burden of what is your part and what you're supposed to focus on? I've done that. I'm going to share a little something with you. I won't get into detail, but I think all of us experience this from year to year, time to time. I have prepared for the feast, the Passover, of D11, moved all the leavening out of my house. I've gone through the meditation, the examination, the process of thinking about Jesus Christ, what he does for me as my personal Savior on Passover. I have marched through the 7 days of unleavened bread with the same exact sins that I've had for a long time. I wasn't able to accomplish much during those 7 days. And I really don't believe that that is where our focus should be, on trying to remove sin. And I'm going to show that here in a bit. I know it's my opinion, but I do believe that God wants us to focus on him. He is the one who removes sin from our lives. We have to walk away from sin, don't we? It's our job to repent of it and walk away from it. It's his job to remove it. And that's the whole purpose, I believe, as we prepare for the Passover service, is the one message that we should be getting is that we're incapable of doing that. No matter what we do in regards to leavening, there it is. We can't get it all out. We have to throw ourselves on the mercy of God's court and say, I so desperately need the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. There's something important there that I think should be addressed. Of course, we always want to do our best to think about, you know, removing sin from our life, repenting of it, turning from it. But I don't believe, by and large, the focus should be on these days in that regard. Excuse me. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6, your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a whole leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. Indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of the malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now, I know, personally, I've read that scripture and think, well, you know, I've got to really spend the next 7 days purging. Purging, wringing my hands, purging. You know, the first day you feel great after Passover, night to be much remembered, purging. I'm purging. How are you doing? Well, I'm purging. And you get to the tail end and you realize, I'm incapable of this. Now, that doesn't mean that I need to know what sin is. I need to do my very best to ask Jesus Christ to live his life in me to remove it. But I don't want to go through these 7 days wringing my hands and worrying about the sin that so easily besets me. I want to focus on him. And I think that's what he wants us to do. When we're baptized, another question for you. When we're baptized and we come out of that trough or jacuzzi or the lake or wherever you're baptized, where's sin symbolically? Where is it? It's back there in the trough or the jacuzzi or the lake. It's behind you, isn't it? When Israel came out of Egypt and went through the Nile River, where was sin symbolically? Where was it? It was behind him, wasn't it? And when you and I go through the night to be much remembered, the Passover, and we take those symbols, and I agree with what Mr. Rayner said a couple weeks ago, it's not a rebaptism, but it's a reminder that only through Jesus Christ we're forgiven, right? That's what we go through. Well, where is sin there? As we go through this process, it is behind us. And I think that's what Paul said. I look forward to those things. I look forward. I'm not thinking about my sin. Can we not allow ourselves a wow moment? A wow moment. I mean, if you think about what it must have been like for the Israelites to come out through all of what happened, all those miracles that happened, come through the Red Sea, they must have had a wow moment. They must have been, wow! I mean, wow. Look at what has happened to my nation. Look at how we've been delivered. Can we not allow ourselves that? Can we not be delivered and allow ourselves from what happened the other night a wow moment? I think we can. And I think that's where our focus needs to be. Our wow is in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Get my glasses back on here. In Hebrews 9 and verse 13, you can turn there if you'd like. Hebrews 9 and verse 13. This one gets read an awful lot. And I have really, I don't know, I think I've read it several times during my sermonettes because there is a point here that I think is very important. Hebrews 9 and verse 13. For if the blood of goat, I'm sorry, for the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ to the eternal spirit offer himself out without spot, purge our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? It goes through and it says, you know, all of those things that the priests were able to do, all those sacrifices could not purge their conscience. Didn't give them the ability to have that, essentially that wow moment. You know, that moment of, I can think clear, I am not burdened by my sins, I am forgiven. But it says here in verse 13, that's exactly what the blood of Christ does. In Romans 7, verse 24, beginning verse 24, excuse me, Paul really had this. He really understood this. And I think this encapsulizes my whole sermonette. he says this, and he's just finishing up on those issues where he says, I do what I shouldn't do, and I don't do what I should do. You know, like we all do, we have a certain amount of angst about the things that we do. But he says, and he comes to this understanding. He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ the Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law, but with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. He knows that it's still going to happen. And beginning in the very first verse of the next chapter, verse 8, he says, therefore, now is no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but after the Spirit. The ways of Jesus Christ, the thoughts of Jesus Christ, the minds of Jesus Christ, our minds, if we put our minds on his passions, his desires, his teaching, his strength, his mercy, we're not walking in the flesh. And I can't tell you, this was read, I think, in a sermonette way back in January. I cannot get my mind off of, therefore there remains no more condemnation in the people of Christ. So as we go through the next 7 days, there is not room to feel bad about who and what you are or what you have done. There is not enough room to sit and wring your hands over some sins that are extremely difficult to get rid of. There is room to think about and live by the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10 and verse 29, you don't need to turn there, talks about sinning and how sinning frustrates the grace of God. Sin frustrates the grace of God. How much more do we frustrate the grace of God, or insult, it's actually the translation is insult the grace of God, when we don't allow to understand or feel God's grace, which is exactly what the Passover season pictures. Now, I'm not going to leave you without some steps for how to make this the best feast ever. I've got three that I use that hopefully this will be helpful. I hope that I've not, you know, offended anybody in any way in regards to how you approach the holy days and these 7 days and removing of sin. Certainly our focus should be on Jesus Christ. But there are three things that I try to do and will be doing this year that will help me through these days. Number one, eat the unleavened bread. They now have, and you probably all knew this, they now have chocolate-covered unleavened bread. How many people knew that? I did not know that. Somebody said, if you go to QCM Mercer Island, they have, and I happen to be there, I walk in, and there it is. You know, I'm just loading up. You know, I wiped out their chocolate-covered boxes and any left. We had some of those last night, and they were good. They were really good. It's kind of cheating almost, isn't it? When you think about that. Eat the unleavened bread. And as you do, pray. Take the time to pray. I had some this morning, and I went, well, this is good. I forgot. But take the time to pray that Jesus Christ's mind and attitude and his life enter you. No different than really what happened on Passover. What are his words? What does he expect from us? Who is he? How do we identify ourselves with him? As you eat that bread, mentally think, Jesus Christ is the only source that is going to remove sin from my life. Number two, get together if you can, or at least fellowship. Call somebody up on the phone and talk about these days. And if we could, let's talk about Jesus Christ. I'm giving you full license to be able to just bring him up at the first possible moment that you can. You know, that kind of awkward moment that sometimes we do when we want to talk about Jesus. Well, you know, people in other churches talk about Jesus. Well, I want to talk about Jesus. Today, these days are the days to talk about Jesus Christ. Talk about who he is and what he is. Number three, these are what I do, okay? And since I'm up here, you get to hear it. EFAST. I've mentioned this before. My wife and I will be doing this for the next 7 days, and that is electronically turn off. You guys want more time in your lives for the next 7 days? Yeah, well, let me put it this way. At the end of the 7 days, have you ever said, well, I didn't really have enough time to do this or do that? Well, if you turn off your computer, your TV, try not to read the paper, turn off the BlackBerry, turn off the Facebook. That's going to drive everybody nuts. I got on Facebook and I was astonished at how many people wanted to be my friend. So, and if you, I've got people crawling out of the woodwork on Facebook. I have no idea who they are. Okay, I want to be your friend. But turn it off. Turn all your electronic devices off, and you'll have the time that you need to focus on Jesus Christ and what these days mean. Brethren, I hope that these next 7 days we can, you know, not wring our hands and worry so much about our responsibility in removing sin. We have a responsibility to step away from it. And we can more focus on the one true being, Jesus Christ, that will remove our sin. And in that regard, we'll have the best feast ever.